leave and you say, well, I didn't get much out of that. I have a question for you. Did you bring anything to carry it in? Because it's not about you or me. It's not about how I feel by coming here. We are here this morning to worship and praise God. It's to Him and to Him the glory. And ladies and gentlemen, we have to understand that it's not about us. It's not about, well, I believe if we introduce this form of music or if we introduce this form of teaching or if we do this, I'm going to feel better about it. And we're going to have people come that are going to be more entertained and they're going to come back and they're just going to feel good. It's not about feel good. It's about what we do to worship the Lord our God. And that's a practical application for us. Number two, praise God and thank God for our blessings every single day. Every day that we wake up and we're surrounded by a world that has so many things in it that make our lives comfortable, we should give thanks. For the fact that we have the opportunity to serve each other, we should give thanks. For the trials that we sometimes face, the Scriptures tell us, we should give thanks because through those trials, our faith is strengthened. We should live a life that glorifies God. Practical application. What we do every day is a reflection about whether or not we respect and we really truly thank God. If you thank God, you're going to live your life, I'm going to live my life in a way that glorifies Him and not brings Him sorrow. In Genesis chapter 6, the world was so sinful. It said, the Scriptures state that God repented that He had made man. I can only imagine what God's thoughts are when He sees some of our behavior today. And I'm embarrassed and I'm ashamed for mankind for the way that we act. And if we are going to glorify God, we're going to check the way that we act each and every day. And it's not something that's easy. It's not something that we're always going to be able to do. We're all going to fall short. I fall short. You fall short. But we have to keep trying. Live a life that glorifies God. The second point I'd like to look at is thankfulness in action as it relates to our fellow man. Matthew chapter 22, verses 37 through 40. Jesus said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." If you turn back to Matthew chapter 5, verses 43 through 48, Jesus said, "You've heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies. Bless those who curse you. Do good to those who hate you. And pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. That you may be sons of your Father in heaven. For He makes His sun to rise and on the evil and on the good. And He sends rain on the just and the unjust. For if you love those who love you, what reward have you? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet your brethren only, what do you do more than others? Do not even the tax collectors do so?" James, writing in chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, "If you really fulfill the royal law, according to the Scripture, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. You do well. But if you show partiality, you commit sin and are convicted by the law as transgressors." Later in chapter 2 in James, we read, "What does it profit, my brethren, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you says to them, 'Depart in peace, be warmed, be filled,' but you don't give them the things which are needed for the body, what does it profit? Thus also, faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. Some practical applications from these passages as we think about thankfulness in action as it relates to one another. The first one is pretty clear. Love our neighbors. All of them. Who's our neighbor? It's anybody that we come in contact with. The scripture, and this is not an optional, this is not a check-off list of I'd like to do this and this, I'll pass on that one. I don't think so. Love our neighbors. We don't have to love the evil actions or the behaviors, but we do have to love their souls. And if you love their souls, you're going to do whatever you can to help them to learn about Jesus. The next one, and I went back and checked, and I double-checked, and I triple-checked, and it is in there. Love our enemies. Boy, that's a tough one, isn't it? Love our enemies. All of them. That's so hard. But again, it's not optional. They are created by God. They are souls that we need to love and care about. Some of the most vile, evil people that have been our enemies have also become our brothers. Love our enemies. That's one that I need to pray about. I need help with that. It's really hard. But it's not optional. The third one, almost as difficult. Pray for those around us who treat us badly. All of them. That's a hard one, isn't it? Because when someone does something to us, I'm not one to back down. I'll go right up there and take them on. But that's not what the scripture says, is it? Pray for your enemies. Pray for those around that mistreat you. Pray for them. Do good to them. And I think that one of the greatest examples to us today is to think back to a young man named Stephen. Stephen told it like it was. In the book of Acts, we have an account where Stephen is telling them, "You crucified the Lord Jesus Christ. You have His blood on your hands." Well, they didn't like that. And so they killed Stephen by stoning. And as they were throwing the stones at Stephen to take his life away from him, what was Stephen's reaction? He prayed for them. He prayed for the people that were throwing the stones at him, the people that were killing him. He prayed at that very moment for them and said, "Don't hold this to their charge." If Stephen can do that, then I think I can be a little bit better at praying for my enemies and for those around that treat me badly. Don't you? That's putting our thankfulness in action. James' account in chapter 2, verses 14 through 17, tells us that if we're going to put our faith and our thankfulness in action, then we're going to take care of one another. The hypocrisy of seeing somebody in need, seeing somebody that's cold and hungry and destitute, and in a pious and arrogant fashion, say to them, "Well, I hope you're warm and filled," and do nothing to help them. That's not putting our thankfulness in action. We have an obligation to take care of those around us because our salvation depends on whether or not we care enough to do something to help other people. We've been blessed, And any one of us, any single one of us, could find ourselves in that same position at any time. And what would we want our brother to do? We'd want them to help us. Galatians chapter 6, verses 9 through 10 is one of my favorite passages because it tells us, "And let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart." Verse 10, "Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those of the household of faith." It's not an obligation, brethren. It's an opportunity. It's an opportunity for us to put our thankfulness in action. Colossians chapter 3, verses 12 through 17. "Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, and also you must do. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body. And be thankful. Let the word of God dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching, and admonishing one another, in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him." Lastly, I'd like for us to look at thankfulness in action as it relates to ourselves. In Galatians chapter 6, verses 1 through 5, Paul, writing to the church in Galatia, writes, "Brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest also you be tempted. Bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if anyone thinks himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But let each one examine his own work, and then he will have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another." Galatians chapter 6, verse 6 tells us, "Let him who is taught the word share in all good things with him who teaches." The writer of Proverbs, chapter 3, verses 5, we're going to read through 12. "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your paths. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones. Honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of all your increase, so your barns will be filled with plenty. My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor detest His correction. For whom the Lord loves, He corrects, just as a father the son in whom He delights." Practical applications for us: thankfulness in action means that you and I are going to take care of each one and of each other when we fall. We're going to fall. We're going to be tempted. We're going to have times in our life where we're really low. We need each other. If we're going to put our thankfulness in action, then you're going to be out there to catch me, and I'm going to do the same for you. We're going to take care of one another. Number two, be thankful for what we've been taught and make a point to teach someone else. What are we if we take and we've received this wonderful Word of God and we keep it to ourselves and don't share it? I would call that selfish. Number three, I didn't know any other way to say this, so I'm just going to put it out there, just plain and simple. Sometimes we just need to get over ourselves. You know, it's just, we need to realize that we're not perfect. Nobody else is perfect. And sometimes we just need to give each other a break. Get over ourselves. Get over your whatever it is. We need to realize that everything that we have comes from God. Every single thing you have comes from God. We need to get our feelings off our sleeves. Sometimes we walk around and feelings sitting right there and just go ahead, knock it off. If we need to be corrected, we should be thankful that someone, along with God, cared enough about us to help us get it straightened out. And you know, sometimes that's all it takes. We have so much to be thankful for. The list is growing and growing. It's so long. The hymn we sang right before the lesson about count your blessings, we can't possibly do that in the time we have here. It would take hours and days for us to count, literally, and to name all of the blessings that we have. But I want to suggest to you as we close, it's not enough to be thankful. It's not enough to say that we're thankful. What we have to do and what we must do is to put our thankfulness in action. Let's remember the grateful leper back in Luke chapter 17. When you go back, and one of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned and with a loud voice glorified God, and he fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. That's thankfulness in action. That's what we have to take and translate from whatever thankfulness we have in our heart. Put it in action. Put it in action as we think about our relationship with God. Put it in action as we think about our relationship with one another. Put it in action when you look at yourself. And brethren, we have an opportunity to be thankful in a way that others will notice. I encourage us each and every day, put our thankfulness in action, and it will make a difference, not only in your life, but to the lives of the people around you. The Lord was so gracious